very good. I'll have to kick out the chihuahua so everybody...
Well, then forget it.
So, yeah, that's all right. I've been looking to get rid of them the last year or two.
Just don't go to Cannabis College for the cigars, okay?
That's right.
Well, welcome, everyone. And Debbie, I don't know if you got a call from Jason Laver, but
yes.
Jason's involved with that ordinance number 2021-122. That's the ordinance that grants a... special conditional use permit, is that the terminology we're using, Debbie?
Yes.
Very good. And if you recall, Council, that the Cleveland School of Cannabis has been here in the city for the last, I'd say, 4 years. I think 2017 when we approved it, and it was located at the Independence Tower there on Granger Road there on Route 17. They came to the Planning Commission. We had a hearing last month, and regarding granting a special condition use permit, they want to move their operations from the Independence Tower down to the building located at 6599 Granger Road. And that head building has been vacant really for about 4 years too. I think Ace Copy Machine was the previous occupant there, if I recall correctly.
Excuse me, Dave. Dave, can yes. we take a roll call to begin caucus, please?
Oh, definitely, yes. See, I'm ready to jump in right away. Please call the roll, Debbie.
Sure. Grindel?
Here.
Capusta?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Sinek?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Vavrka?
Here.
Walt Chalitz?
Here.
Thanks, Debbie, for reminding me. So,
thanks, Jim.
Again, they have been in operation in the city since 2017, operating a college for educational purposes for people that are in the medical marijuana industry, all facets of it. And again, they've been operating very well. They're going more towards having their school online as opposed to in classroom, but they're still offering in class too. So if you look at the legislation, you can see that they've agreed as far as there's some matters there as far as a minimum parking space. They would not request a variance if future businesses would locate there. And also they realize the premises is within a floodplain, and I believe they won't impose beyond the premises existing parking. It was unanimously approved by the Planning Commission. Their payroll of this company is approximately $1 million, and it's continuing to grow as that industry continues to grow. Other than that, I think if we have, is Jason available to speak?
You know what? I don't know if he's on the, I sent him an invitation. Here he is.
I'm here, guys. This is Jason Laver.
Hey, Jason, welcome. Is there anything further you wish to add, Jason, to the information I provided, Council?
I think you did an excellent summary of the project and what they're all about. And unless the group has questions of me, I have nothing further to add. We look forward to moving forward with the project. And we also think that it would create some other jobs as part of the redevelopment of this property. So we're excited about the opportunity before us.
Thank you, Jason. Any questions for Jason regarding this legislation or transition of the Cannabis College coming to their building? Yes, Jim.
Thank you. Yeah, so I just wanted to clarify, and I read in the minutes. So this is a move-in. Are they doing anything in the outside of the building?
Jace, I believe everything's being done in the inside, isn't it?
Correct. There would only be, you know, minimal improvements on the exterior as it relates to some, you know, landscaping and things of that nature. The improvements would be happening on the interior of the building. And, you know, we're just looking to kind of clean it up in general.
Yeah, I would just, my word of advice is if you do have the time and effort, it'd be nice to clean up the outside of the building as well.
Absolutely. We're in the leasing business, so we know that, you know, that the front door, the curb appeal, if you will, is very important in doing that. So we're going to work with HSB Architects and JTL Construction, who have done many projects in your community, to work with your building department to go ahead and clean the property up as part of this occupancy of Cleveland Cannabis College.
And Jason, you had mentioned that you're aware that it's in a flood zone, and as long
Correct.
As the city, as long as you know that the city's not responsible for any kind of flooding or sewer backup or anything related to that flood zone, I just don't want issues coming back to the city saying, well, you know, I didn't know about it, or you know, you neglected us or whatever. So if there's something in writing that you can write off saying that you're aware of the responsibilities, if we do have, you know, heavy rains, that it is in a flood zone, that the city is not responsible.
We're well aware of the area, and I think I believe that was covered sufficiently in the Planning Commission approval and notes.
Correct, Jason and Tom, that's part of our approval, subject to them recognizing that situation. And Jason, if I correct this, they're going to be taking 9,000 square feet of your facility?
Correct.
And that there still remains then 7,700 for further office space if another tenant would want to come in?
Correct, plus some warehouse space which is adjacent to that.
Right, and I believe that at least your application says 12,300 square feet of warehouse.
There you go. Thank you.
Very good. Any other questions for Jason or the mayor or myself on this legislation? Is there any opposition? Matter of fact, Michael, any comments from the building department standpoint?
The only comment is that the remainder of the building, whoever the occupant may possibly be, would be subject to the remaining available parking that's there. They are restricted or kind of landlocked, if you will, as far as available parking. If they were to get a tenant that was office, they would not be able to work out the parking situation based on our code.
Thank you, Michael. And I think we included that also in the legislature or in the approval of their application. Anybody opposed to this piece of legislation? Then we can put this on the consent agenda. Debbie, hearing no opposition, we can put this on the consent agenda for this evening. So Jason, that means that there is no opposition, so it should unanimously be approved tonight.
Dave,
I appreciate it.
David, I would just add that anybody that is unfamiliar, this is the first time they're becoming aware of Cannabis College, that there is no cannabis on site. So if
that is correct. You're correct.
Sure that was clear.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Well, we'll move back now to the regular agenda, and it starts with page 2. There's one piece of legislation on second reading, and that is ordinance number 2021-109. This ordinance amending chapter 618 of the codified ordinances of the city of Independence relating to animals and keeping chickens. Tom, we had this last month. I think one or two calls from people. Matter of fact, Ken, they agree with you. They think it's too much government intervention, but is the comments I received that we shouldn't be involved in regulating. But I think there's enough issues here. And I don't think it's overreach. If it seems to be, I think, Tom, we're willing to, you know, to modify it down the road if necessary in that. But I think this is something we felt was necessary because of the complaints that we get. And sometimes if people follow the regulations here and everything, I don't think we'll have any difficulty. Any comments, Tom?
I think one piece of that we can probably take out, Dave, is under J, is the pool a permit to have the chickens? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that seems to be one of the glitches in this, is that, you know, people have to pull a permit to have these chickens. So, I mean, I don't think it's really necessary as long as we keep everything else in order and it keeps one piece of red tape out of Mike's office. It still gives Mike the power to oversee if there's a complaint from a neighbor. But, I mean, to go through the process of having a permit and having Mike go out and check to make sure everything's legit, I mean, I personally don't think it's necessary. And I know a couple of my calls were that exact statement that I just made. And I know these permits, you know, they get out of control once in a while. But, you know, we did it with the rental property, and I don't know how well that worked out. We don't monitor it. We don't check. We don't police it. So is it all in vain? I don't know. So, you know, in order to keep some kind of, in order to keep this piece of legislation going forward, I would be inept to remove that part of J, that you don't have to have a permit, because I think there's enough meat there that Mike can still take control of the situation if a neighbor does have a complaint.
So I guess, would you want to, Kathleen?
Yeah, I would agree with Tom. I think that J would be a good thing to keep out. And I think that may also mitigate somewhat the feeling of the government overpowering, because you're not really trying to track anything. You just want to have a mechanism available here that if fellow residents identified a concern or a problem about a neighbor that they couldn't work out themselves, because that's always our goal, hopefully, that neighbors work out things from between themselves. But if they couldn't, then this would give Mike the ability to go in and try to assist with the situation. But you're not trying to find out how many people in town have chickens or who or what. That's not the issue. The issue is really just trying to have a vehicle if there's a problem that it can be dealt with.
Well, I'm wondering, I have no problem with getting rid of the permit requirement, but do we need a mechanism to allow the building department to do an inspection? We have an inspection to be done by the animal control officer, and do we need a mechanism that if there's a complaint filed, that we would be able to do a site inspection? It could be, you know, the people are in compliance and the neighbor just really has a problem with clucking chickens or whatever. So I don't know if we need, what do you think, Mike, on that, or law director?
I believe that permit was in place more so just to regulate the chicken coops and locations and things like that, not necessarily for the amount of chickens. But you bring up a good point. It, you know, it's going to be so infrequent that if we just need to do it on a policing basis, just make sure that people are aware somehow of what the requirements are as far as locations of coops and runs and things like that.
So, the way it's legislation's written now, does it give us the permission to go onto someone's property and to check out their coop, check out their way they farm their chickens, the way legislation is written now?
No, but it does not preclude, like many zoning violations, Councilman Narduzzi. Mike doesn't have to get on the property itself. The complaining neighbor, more times than not, will allow Mike access where he can observe and if there's a violation. If the homeowner consents to him coming over, if not, generally speaking, just like police or, unless there's probable cause, you'd need to take, you know, more official action through that. But I've not seen it in my career where it's gotten to that point with any zoning rules and regulations.
Very good. Tom, do you want to make a motion regarding
removing? We've got some more hands up.
Okay, did I get Chris there? I know Chris had a... Chris, you go ahead.
I'm just curious, on the coop, is there a size restriction on what size the coop is going to be or can't exceed? Because then if they go too big, aren't we adding a secondary accessory building onto their property? Mike, is that
Well, I guess the chicken coop would, you could record, you could consider it an accessory structure. Typically, they don't get that big, I wouldn't think, that it would be, it'd be no different than a swing set or a small playhouse. It's only when these structures get big, like the size of a shed, that they become a requirement for an accessory structure.
Dale, do you have a question?
More of a comment. It makes sense to make sure that we keep the chickens on people's property. It makes a lot of sense that we respect the neighbors by keeping a chicken coop an appropriate distance and that they take care of the manure. The thing, when I spoke with a couple of different chicken owners, one of the issues that I have relates to the number six. The reality is if you have six chickens, the number of eggs they will produce, but your chickens don't continue to lay forever. After close to 2 years, the chickens' egg production goes down. And when it goes down, it takes about the better part of 2 to 3 months to develop peeps to the point where they're actually egg producers. So not to make a mountain out of a molehill, but okay, so then I've got peeps that are developing, but I've still got the mature chickens that are aging out, you might say. So I guess I have a problem with this mandatory number.
Well, the number, six.
I mean, Dale, there's no easy answer. I'm just trying to make a common sense decision. So if you live in a half acre of land, just picture this, and your house is in the middle of your land, and you're 200 feet deep, and your house is in the middle, that gives you about 70 feet in the backyard. How many chickens do you need in the backyard? I mean, that's all I'm getting at. I mean, if they're peeps, if they're big ones, it doesn't matter. I mean, you have to put a number to it. I mean, is 20 a good number for you? Is 30 a good number? I don't know. But six seems realistic to me.
Tom, all I'm doing is calling your attention to the fact that if you have six laying chickens and you need to develop new chickens to take their place, that would mean at times you would have 12 chickens. So if we're, honing down to a chicken number, if that's a critical thing, we have a little bit of a problem because we do have that overlap potentially of 9 months. That's why I'm not anxious to get into numbers.
I mean, you can dice this thing up however you want it. I'm just trying to make a piece of common sense legislation. That's all I'm trying to do. You can find fault with anything we do, but I'm just trying to use common sense. That's all.
I wouldn't say I'm trying to find fault, Tom. I'm trying to simply make sure we don't create a piece of legislation that people are going to have a problem with simply because to continue their egg production, they're going to go over the magic number, whatever the magic number is. That's all.
They're not allowed to have a rooster, so how are they going to have a fertile egg?
No, they go out and buy. You go to Tractor Supply and you buy laying peeps, ones that are going to provide eggs as compared to ones that provide meat. I mean, they raise chickens. Some people raise chickens specifically, so in a couple of months, they grow to the point they're nice, meaty chickens, and then that's a different story. But these chickens that we're talking about here, egg-laying chickens, you have a totally different situation.
Could it possibly, if you have it, six egg-laying female chickens, so this way the peeps don't count towards that number until they get into production? Would that, this way you can have your six, and then once you have the other ones to come into that they're able to produce, then they replace whatever number of chickens you're retiring in that, and still stay within the spirit of the ordinance. Any comments?
That sounds like a fair compromise to me.
So who's going to monitor having 12 chickens for 9 months? I mean, come on, guys. They're going to say, well, I get 9 months with 12 chickens, and then in 3 months they're going to have, well, I get 9 more months with 12 chickens. I mean, let's be realistic. I mean,
sorry, is there a grandfather clause on this, or does it immediately take effect?
I think it immediately takes effect, right?
I would say immediately takes effect. That's, I mean, that's why we're doing this, is to...
90, it takes effect after 90 days after the mayor's signature, to give people time to make modifications, comply.
Couple questions I had, and I'm sympathetic to the number, but I understand where you're coming from, Tom. My concern is based on chickens being kept in coops from dusk to dawn and being forced to be in the coop. You know, I know the free-range movement is pretty big all over the country, and was just curious as to your openness as to if they didn't have to be kept in coops from dusk to dawn, if you had coops on the property, but it seems to me the problem is related to chickens wandering into other people's yards and creating a mess. Certainly is realistic, but at the same time, I don't know it's constrained from dusk to dawn. Is there any openness, Tom, to perhaps amending Section H on that?
I'm not a chicken farmer, but it's for the chicken's own safety. If you're going to let them run in the backyard at dark, that's when the predators go after them, 99.9% of the time. So it's just a matter of locking them up at dark, and most chickens want to go into the roost at dark. So that's just, it's just a common thing. I don't know. I don't know if that's a big deal breaker for me, but I mean, I think most chickens go back into the coop when it starts getting dark.
Okay, understood.
Any other questions or comments? Tom, did you want to entertain a motion or make a motion regarding that paragraph J there regarding the permit?
Yeah, so if I could make a motion to eliminate Section J.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So that piece of legislation is amended. J is eliminated. Anything else? I think the other issue was the number there with the peeps and everything else. Anything to modify that or just keep it as it is? Well, I guess we'll keep that as it is. And again, this is on second reading, so there's no need to ask about a consent decree. This will just be voted on independently of the other ordinances. Anything further before we move on?
Thanks, everybody.
Okay, thank you, Tom. And now we move on to first reading on page 2, ordinance number 2021-116. This is an ordinance to approve the editing and inclusion of certain ordinances as parts of the various components codes of the codified ordinances to provide for the adoption of new matter in the updated and revised codified ordinances and to repeal ordinances in conflict therewith and declaring emergency. And this is quite regular. We do this, I think, Greg, do we do this every other year or at least every year?
Every year.
It's annually. And I think depending on the changes made down in Columbus with the Ohio Revised Code, it's annually.
So we bring everything in line with our own ordinances with the state and with what changes we made and that. So this is an annual affair. Any questions regarding this? Kathleen?
I just was wondering if there's a reason why low-speed micro-mobility devices are listed twice under two different numbers. It's 301.213, the first entry, a little bit down 315.15. They were both added, too, so.
We want to make sure that we really see those. That's why.
I can see what those
yeah, I mean, there may sections. Be a, yeah, yeah. Just curious, yeah.
Any opposition to this legislation? Okay, seeing none, Debbie will put this on the consent agenda.
Okay. We're frozen.
Are we all here?
Yeah, we're all frozen.
Yes. No, not on mine. Everybody's
on mine.
But on mine.
On mine, it is.
Yeah, I see Jim.
Jim is dancing. It's good.
Yes. Yeah. Very good. Unfrozen. we'll move on to ordinance number 2021-117, and this ordinance authorizing the disposal of the city's surplus goods and equipment through GovDeals online auction services. We do this two or three times each year. Dennis, any comments regarding this?
Vice Mayor, the biggest thing is the exercise equipment. This all being replaced, and what we're doing is we're going to put it on GovDeals and sell it as a lot.
I see. And I know you sent us a email, I think yesterday afternoon, but that I think was already on the legislation, I think, as the third exhibit that, but that's still good. You keep us on our toes, make sure we don't miss anything.
Well, actually, Vice Mayor, that was some additional items that were being added to GovDeals from the fire department.
Oh, okay. Very good. So is this the second time we've done it this year, Dennis? Or third?
I would be guessing if I told you.
Yeah, it has to be second or third.
Second or third.
Jim, you had a comment?
Yes, thank you. It's been a while since we've visited this. I was just curious, does GovDeals take a percentage of the overall sale, or is there a difference in high ticket items versus small ticket items in terms of what percentage, and what percentage do they take for the privilege of using their auction site?
All fees are paid by the buyer. There's no the city does not pay any fees on this.
What are those fees, I guess is what I'm asking?
3%.
3%. Thank you.
This is a big improvement from when I first was on council. We had those auctions on site and everything. It was really really quite a production. We did just once a year, so this is much easier, much preferred, I think.
Yeah, Vice Mayor, if I could, Councilperson Capusta, just to answer your question earlier, 301.213 for low speed. 301.213 is the definition section. Without drilling down, they probably had to add a new definition, and then the actual authoritative section is 15.
Thanks, Greg. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Any opposition to the legislation regarding GovDeals? Any further questions? Seeing no opposition, we'll put this on the consent decree, Debbie.
That's fine. Yes.
Ordinance number 2021-118. This ordinance accepting the consortium bid of Compass Minerals America Inc. for the purchase and delivery of rock salt for the 2021-2022 snow season, pursuant to the Joint Municipal Improvement Consortium. I know we've discussed this earlier, and this is the first time that this company has, I think, has bid, and they're quite a bit, save $17.44 less per ton than last year's price. So, we are committed, I guess, to buying a minimum of 4,000 tons of rock salt or maximum of 7,000 tons. And the amount we spent last year was $381,786. So, Dennis, this is a one-year contract?
Yes, that's correct, Vice Mayor. Just a little bit of background about Compass Minerals. They are a publicly traded company. Last year, they had sales in excess of $1.5 billion, and they own the largest underground salt mine, which is under Lake Huron. So it's kind of a new company that I've heard of, but they've been around since 1917.
Wow. And they're quite a bit cheaper than Cargill and Morton, who were the third and second place bidders.
That is correct. And they also hold some state contracts with the state of Ohio. So they've been fully vetted, and I have a lot, great deal of confidence in them being able to, handle the orders.
Well, hopefully we'll just order the minimum amount of rock salt this year and be in compliance and everything, hoping for a now, Jim.
Thank you. Yeah, a question for you. Where does the salt come from that we will be ordering? Where is it stored?
You know, they have a number of locations. The company itself is located out in Kansas. Their largest mine is under Lake Huron. You know, I don't know where they exactly, you know, store it, but I know they have facilities throughout the country.
Chris? I'm just curious. I know that Cargill and Morton are right underneath Lake Erie, and, you know, they're right there. And I just was curious as to where. I saw that they were in Overland Park, Kansas, but didn't see any local connection to it. How are they going to get this all here? No, I'm just curious. I mean, how do they get here?
You know, I believe they train, you know, bring it in by trains. And one of the reasons why this price was, you know, so favorable is this salt is already available. It's out of the ground and it's stored, so it's readily available.
Okay. I don't know if they've ever bid before on the consortium's. I could be wrong, but I don't believe it's always seemed to be Cargill or Morton. And I know George Kleep has always voted against Cargill.
they have written down here that George Kleep has would vote for this.
Yes. Chris, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I just was wondering if there's a specific delivery date when that salt would come in, and if we are going to have our salt bin fixed prior to that delivery date.
The tentative date for the recovering of the salt storage building is October 15th. We can't be start purchasing under this contract until November 1st.
Perfect.
And Vice Mayor, there was a rather large class action against Cargill and Morton's a few years back, so this may be the byproduct of more competition coming into Ohio.
Well, it's welcome because, yeah, it seemed like it was just every year going up exceedingly. Any other questions for Dennis? Is there any opposition to this legislation? Seeing none, Debbie, we can put this on. Well, Debbie's gone. I think the empty chair is there. Well, empty chair, this goes on the consent agreement. Oh, there she's back. Very good. Very good. So, Debbie, this will go on the consent decree also.
Okay.
Next legislation is ordinance number 2021-119. This ordinance authorizing the purchase and delivery of turnout gear for the fire department through the state cooperative purchasing program. And Chief Riga, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Oh, very good, Steve.
Okay.
You can. Great. You had an excellent memo and everything, but if you could reiterate some of the main points.
Yeah, this is part of our five-year capital purchase plan to purchase new gear every 5 years. Currently, right now, there's about 120 to 180 day wait on delivery. So we would like to get these things ordered now so that they come in early in 2022. So when our current gear is aging out in 10 years, we'll have the new stuff coming in to replace it. This is not as big an order as we would normally have. Obviously, we've hired a lot of people in the last couple of years, so some of them got new gear already, so we're just trying to get the folks that need the new gear replaced now completed, and we'll try to get everybody back into a five-year rotation as we go down at the years. So right now we're purchasing 17 sets of gear for people that need them.
Thank you, Steve. I know I don't know if Vern is online, but I think the money's already set aside. I think most of it to purchase this is part of the five-year program, but I think everything's in place. And Steve, and you save the city money by acting, you know, to get it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, we have a price increase coming up. I think it's in October. And then also we've seen multiple price increases already this year just due to materials, due to all the things that's going on with the market and delivery and so forth. So don't know the reasonings why, but it's the same with all materials now. Things are going up. Yeah. So.
Very good. Anyone have questions for Steve regarding this? Is there any opposition to this? I see none. And Steve, we'll put this on the consent agenda to be approved tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ordinance number 2021-120, This is an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a local public agency agreement with Cuyahoga County for the Cuyahoga IR 077, well, it's the northbound ramp for safety purposes onto I-77 from Rockside. Don, are you aboard here?
Yes, I am, Vice Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, Don.
This pertains to the major infrastructure project that we've been coordinating with ODOT. We received a $2 million highway safety program grant. We have had GPD group working on our behalf. They also were instrumental in securing that grant. They've been designing the plans and we're ready to submit stage three plans. So really this project is moving down the track. ODOT needs us to execute the LPA agreement and authorize this legislation to allow the mayor to execute those documents and get the funding participation committed with ODOT.
Good. I think in your memo you had mentioned that we need to adopt this legislation on first reading to keep the to keep the program going along, and construction is going to be next year. I think it'll go out to bid during the winter.
Correct. Yeah, we hope to hit the full construction season next year. They do anticipate probably 8 to 10 months of construction.
Very good. Hopefully get it in one calendar year done.
Yes, that's the hope, the goal.
Very good. Any questions of Don?
Dave?
Yeah, yes, Dale.
Just a comment, Don. I know that we have that nice signage related to you want to get on which lane to go, 77 north or 77 south. I would anticipate we would have similar signage because that particular merge is difficult as you have 77 traffic needing to dive across the lanes of the other traffic coming on. So you're considering the signage in the streets so that people going east are in the right of the two turn lanes and the ones going west would be in the left of the two. Does that make sense?
Correct, Councilman Ververke. Yeah, the GPD address all that signage to align and orient vehicles into the proper lane to be able to access the ramps and or move through easterly through traffic.
Yeah, because that particular area, that crisscross, is definitely a good opportunity for problems as it currently exists.
Correct. This should help clean that up, actually.
Good. Thank you.
Don, I got a question.
Tom, and then Jim, you'll come after Tom.
So, Don, is there anything on the books of putting two lanes to 480 East when you come up that ramp or from 77 North? Because that's the bad merge lane over there. I brought this up last time that, you know, we're adding another lane coming in off of Rockside now. So now we got two lanes there. And if you're coming north on 77, now you're crossing two lanes to get into one lane, or you have three lanes funneling into one instead of just two. Did anybody look at that? Did anybody say anything about that? Because I travel it frequently, and it's crazy there in the morning.
Yeah, Councilman Narduzzi, I think the key in this project is that the dual lanes converge and merge to one pretty much over the bridge that goes over Rockside Road, such that by the time just north of them, they're really back to one. And that was critical for us to secure ODOT's permission because they felt that it was not going to induce more traffic to this very congested, high traffic or high accident area of the merges that you're speaking of. So, right, this project unfortunately will not correct that, but it will help, we feel, help our local traffic get onto the highway easier on Rockside Road. The challenge to fix the weave is major interchange project undertaking that ODOT would have to be spearheading.
Any other questions? Jim, you had a question? Yes.
Thank you. Thanks, Don. I did have several questions for you. The first one being, when it comes to lighting improvements on the highway, does that include LED lighting? What are the planned lighting improvements that are discussed here?
Councilman Trakas, I believe they're probably just the lighting that's impacted by the ramp widenings. So whatever lights are out there now, they have to be relocated for the widening to accommodate the widening. And then, of course, have ample illumination to illuminate the wider pavement areas. So I don't believe it's anything grandiose or anything significantly over and above what's out there to meet the intent of the, to be safe with safe lighting.
Okay. Should we be looking at LED lights for this area? I mean, we did a study a few years ago that said that by switching to those with First Energy, we could save a considerable amount of money, and was just curious if we, if that's something the state works with us on or not.
Yeah, that's something I'll have to investigate, but I do believe ODOT is changing out their lights on the highways, so I don't think it would be contested or opposed with this project.
Thank you. And then a second question I had for you was relative to part of the cooperation statement. Now, we talked about this back some months ago, but I'm not sure that we had a lot more detail. It says these items are 100% costs to the LPA, but not limited to landscaping improvements, gateway sign, and planting trees requested by the city. Do we have a plan for that? I don't remember seeing a plan. I might have missed it, but I just was curious. Do we have a plan for that? Has that been approved?
It is being currently being worked on with GPD, and those are, as you mentioned, they're costs that were not part of the ODOT's funding. It's 100% local cost for those certain elements that we wanted to include with this project.
So we will have an opportunity to review that before anything is done. Is that accurate?
Sure.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Any other questions for Don? Any opposition to this legislation? And of course, Don, when do we need to get it approved today? So Debbie will put this on the consent agenda.
Okay.
And Don, we have you on the floor here. So the next piece of legislation is 2021-121. It's an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a local public agency agreement with Cuyahoga County regarding, and this is regarding the bridge, the Route 21 bridge over 480. And it's regarding, I think, aesthetics and utility support design.
Correct, Vice Mayor. This project is 100% funded federally through ODOT and their bridge program. We did a number of years ago, coordinated and requested some upgrades to this structure to include some decorative street lighting and some branding and some decorative fencing, and as well as some conduits for future fiber. So those elements, typically a lot of those construction aspects are funded, are eligible for funding. It's really when you go to the grade is where the trigger happens, when the city is responsible for those additional funds to make it special. And
is that the $67,720?
Correct.
That is our part.
That's the estimate at this point in time. The project has not gone out to bid yet, but these agreements tonight, this one is very time sensitive to get this approved, right? It'll help them get the project out to bid, and then once the project is bid, we'll have a better idea of the actual costs. But this is an estimate at this time based on the consultant's cost estimating.
So have we agreed upon any kind of aesthetic, design for the city and everything? Because I know, does Fahlgren, Morton, are they, they're not involved with the city anymore, are they?
Correct. No, they are not. No, this was something that was a year or so ago, or even further prior, that we committed to these things because we had to get it done early in the design process to get it packaged up into the construction documents.
So have we settled upon a design at this point, or just...
No.
We have the money set aside, but we haven't decided what's going to go on the bridge.
Just general, just very general, in general terms.
I think it's fair to say that we put the independence in big letters. The colors need to be determined. We don't want to do something that's just too far out there, but something that definitely identifies your independence.
We have some kind of symbol of the city, whether it be a Liberty Bell or...
Probably a bell, Liberty Bell.
I see.
I think those are the two elements we agree on, the big letters and the Liberty Bell. Color schemes and anything else is yet to be determined.
Now, will the letters be on the bridge itself, or will it be on the fence? I noticed like Newburgh Heights is on the fence that's on the bridge there. So has there been a decision there? But I've seen others that is right built into the side of the bridge itself.
Yeah, Vice Mayor, we believe we it'll embedded in the parapets of the bridge itself.
I think that'll look a lot better aesthetically than on the fence and everything. Any questions for Don regarding this project?
Just a comment that, you know, in Streets and Sidewalks, Don, about 3 years ago, we pretty much went through this, Tom and Dave and myself, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're definitely the letters to identify in the bell were the key aspects. So right in line with what Mr. Mayor was saying.
Very good, Dale. Jim, you have any comments or questions? Or
no, I would just say I would just ask that we have a chance to review that before it gets done, so that, you know, everyone knows what we're doing out there.
Hopefully it would be done, and Dale, in your committee, that we have a last chance to review it.
Yes,
and council as a whole.
Yes, we looked at some, you know, some possibilities back, what was it, Don, about 3 years ago?
It's been some time. Yes, this project has been on the docket for some time.
So we may have to bring some of those to the surface for some of the other council members.
Very good, Dale.
Thank you.
So is that okay then, to do it that way?
I think so. Whatever, Don, whatever you say that we need to, with this project going on, I think next year is the year they're going to be working on that bridge.
Correct. They want to get this out to bid here later. And then, yes, we all next year will be under construction.
I see, Tom.
So in other words, all we're approving is the money. We're not approving the final layout or the final design.
No, I don't.
Well, there was some initial work that was done that had to be included in the plan. So there's some baseline work, but we do have time once it's bid and once we enter the contractors identified. I'm certain that we have some flexibility before anything is constructed.
I think what you need with this, Don, is to have the mayor able to sign that agreement with ODOT to get this, keep this going.
Correct.
Very good.
We'll,
Jim, you had your hand up.
Sure that, we'll make sure that when we finalize the design, we'll make sure that council can weigh in, and if there's something that missed or something that can be changed, we'll make sure there's ample time to have everyone weigh in on it.
Yeah, there's not too many. There's only a couple bridges, I think, with the freeways that we can put any kind of decorative design. I think the other one would be Chestnut, I believe, if we wanted to ever do something with that. But otherwise, that's the only two that I can think of that we have opportunity to make our statement.
That's all I wanted to accomplish. I think the mayor hit it on the head, and that's great.
Very good.
Don, just make sure, Don, when we're ready, we have ample time to go to council and make sure that everyone's on the same page.
Okay, Mayor.
Appreciate it.
Very good. Any other questions for Don regarding the bridge? Seeing none, any opposition to this legislation? Seeing none, Debbie, we have another for the consent agenda, another piece of legislation.
Okay.
The next ordinance we've already discussed, that's regarding the Cleveland School of Cannabis. We move on to ordinance number 2021-123. This is an ordinance accepting a bid of Liberty Ford, Inc. to supply Ford passenger, police, and commercial vehicle repairs, parts, and labor on an as-needed basis in an amount not to exceed $35,000. This is one I think we brought up during the council workshop and decided that since Liberty Ford had the lowest and best bid, that they should have been granted the award. So. Dennis, that I believe in your, that what you provided us said that they agreed to hold to those prices.
Yes, Vice Mayor, I had discussed it with the law director, and he, you know, said that as long as Liberty would honor the bid of May 13th, you know, council could still take action.
Very good. I saw their letter. It was in our packet here. Any questions from council regarding this? I think this has been going around since June or July, so we're finally doing the right thing with this piece of legislation. No opposition. Debbie, we have another piece of legislation for the consent agenda. Well, the chair is back again. And
okay, I'm in here with Dennis. I'm having a little bit of technical difficulty in my office. So I'm in here.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. There you are. I need a magnifying glass, but I see you there. Very good. Thank you, Debbie. Ordinance number 2021-124. It's ordinance authorizing the full or partial redemption of the city's various purpose refunding bonds, series 2011. And I think, Vern, are you here? There we are.
Vern, sir, thank you. Pretty well, I won't say self-explanatory, but we've reviewed this a couple times, either through our meetings the last 3, 4, 5 months, as well as a number of communications I've had with council since the spring, and have had everybody on alert that this was an option for us, and it still is a very viable option for us. Won't reiterate everything that's in the legislative review, but the bottom line is the callable portion of the bonds will cost us between the coupon rate between 3% and 4%, and the maximum that the city is getting on in its investments, and that's with Independence Bank, is 0.6%. So if the equation was flipped and we were able to get 3-point-some percent on our investments, and our bonds were only 0.6%, it would make sense not to pay them off and just invest that difference. But the equation is flipped. It's been flipped for quite a while, and I think it makes sense for the city to, instead of banking all this cash at minimal interest rates, pay off this $3.6 million tranche of bonds that would cost us between 3% and 4% coupon rate over their life. So Kalfi Halter and our financial advisor, Matt Stuchinski, have advised that this legislation that you see before you is a needed step in that process. The bonds aren't due till December 1, so we've got some time to make that last-minute decision, but this gives us the option, and should anybody on council need any more time, I don't know, you know, what else could be discussed, but if it stayed on first reading tonight, it wouldn't be the end of the world, but we really don't need it passed till October, so that Matt, the mayor, Kalfi, and myself could, in the law director's office a little bit, we could all collaboratively do what we have to do to put the wheels in motion in November to pay these off.
Would council wish to keep this on first reading so that we may have some time to digest this again?
Yeah, so I do think this would be a good subject matter for a finance committee meeting, which I would note hasn't met since last February. I'm uncomfortable with this resolution as it's drafted because it doesn't clearly state that we're going to retire this debt. So council hands the administration a blank check and says not to exceed $3.6 billion. Maybe the administration will choose to refinance. Maybe the administration will choose to pay it off. But council will have no say in the matter, and don't that approach. I think the administration should come to council and say, we're going to pay these things off, and you know, do you agree or not agree with that? And the way this resolution is written, it's a blank check from council to the administration, and we'll find out later what they decided to do. I don't think that's good public policy.
Councilperson Sinek, I don't think that's the case. It is true that it gives us the flexibility to pay off the entire tranche of 3.6 or a portion thereof, but I don't believe it gives us the ability to refinance those. That would take separate legislation and separate authorization from council.
Well, Vern, my feeling is that we should keep this on first reading.
And why is it just written?
That's fine.
Pay this off, and you know, it's all written. It could be, the amount could be zero. It could be $3,580,000. If we're going to pay the thing off, let's write this resolution that says we're going to pay it off, and then council can vote yes or no on that policy. This just puts all the final decisions in the hands of the finance director, and we don't know what you're going to do, and that's not
well
the work.
I have no problem leaving it on first reading. That's fine. I think it's written the way it is, just to give all parties involved the flexibility needed. If we're going to lock in a $3.6 million decision either today, September 14th, or October 12th, December 1, when they're due, is still 6 weeks after December 12th, roughly. And you know as well as I do that anything could happen in the debt markets, the equity markets, the tax-free markets, and so it's probably a bad idea to be locking in and saying you have to just make this one and only decision, and we're telling you this 6-7 weeks before you have to pull the trigger, and I don't think that's good public policy. The world could fall apart, economy, we don't know, but I wouldn't be going through all the communications I've had with council, the administration, with the public since the spring, over the summer, in my legislative reviews, in my weekly Friday updates, if I didn't think that this was a good idea. And I see no reason now, with interest rates still haven't moved. I'm telling you right now, the intent is to pay everything off, that the entire $3.6 million that's eligible to be called without penalty after December 1.
I think that's great. That's the intent, but that's not what the resolution says. It leaves that an open question as to whether or not you're going to pay off 100%. And again, I think this might be a good thing to refer to the Finance Committee so we can have a meeting and discuss it and put our heads together. I get, Vern, you've gotten lots of memos, and you know, I've read them too, but there's no substitute for having the members of the Finance Committee together with you in the same room to talk about this and put our heads together and make sure we understand we're on the same page. I just think that would be a worthwhile exercise when we're spending almost $4 million.
Whatever council's pleasure is, I'm game.
Well, Vern, I think maybe we should keep this on first reading, and I believe then we should have a finance meeting before the October meeting, just to go over, see if we can improve the language of this. But I thought all along that you were promoting that we pay the entire amount off because of the low interest rates and the little bit we're getting back on our money. But let's do that. Debbie, when you have an opportunity, poll both Dale and Ken and the rest of the council, see when's the proper time for us to meet before the October meeting.
Okay,
so we'll keep ordinance 2021-124 on first reading. I guess if you want to have Matt at that meeting too, whatever you feel, Vern, I know you've worked hard on keeping us abreast there for the last 5 months on this, but or 6 months, but we want to make sure everybody's comfortable with the language of the legislation, and that's the way we should go. So again, if we needed to approve it tonight, that's a different matter, but we do have one more month to wait on this. So anybody else in agreement with that or opposition to?
I think that's a good idea, Dave, to refer it to finance. I mean, it makes a lot of sense to retire those debts and save that percentage difference that we would be saving. But I understand where Ken is coming from. Let's just make the decision, put the piece of legislation out there after we meet and approve it or not.
Great. Thank you, Dale. Any other comments from council? Very good. So this will remain on first reading. Any comments, Mayor, regarding this?
No, I'm comfortable with the, I agree with the finance director, but it's council's decision.
Yeah, I think again, to make sure that everybody's comfortable with the facts and everything, and whether the legislation can be improved as far as the language of it, I think that we need to take one last look at that, but we'll definitely be deciding with a finance meeting and deciding for the October meeting. Moving on to ordinance number 2021-125. This is an ordinance accepting the bid of Car Parts Warehouse for the supply of various automotive and light truck parts on an as-needed basis for the service department an amount not to exceed $45,000. I believe last year the amount was about $39,600. Any comments, Dennis?
Vice Mayor Dale, I had discussed the award to Car Parts Warehouse. Director McKinley is very familiar with them. They were about 3% less than the next lowest bid.
Yeah, there was only two bids on this. I see Fisher Auto Parts was the other bidder.
That is correct.
And they're out of Virginia, I believe, as opposed to Car Parts Warehouses in Warrensville.
Yes, that's correct. Their headquarters is Virginia. They do have a local presence, but the end result was that Car Parts was a little bit, you know, a 3% savings.
Very good. Any questions for Dennis from council? Any opposition? Debbie, we'll put this on the consent agenda.
Okay.
Dennis, there's no concern about how quickly they can deliver. I would assume it's not that much further.
No, they're located. They have a warehouse on Brook Park in a, you know, said 3 hours after the order is received.
Okay. Thank you.
Do they currently, do they have the contract previously?
The one that before the current contract.
I see. Very good. Ordinance number 2021-126. This ordinance declaring the vehicles parked at 9114 Bramley Drive in the City of Independence to be junk motor vehicles as defined in the City Codified Ordinance 660.24 and Ohio Revised Code Section 4513-60.65, and therefore a public nuisance as defined in City Codified Ordinance 662.04. and authorizing the law director to notify the owner of and declaring an emergency. And I believe, didn't we get a copy of a note written by Mr. Grunt?
Yes.
Requesting more time, I believe?
Yeah, Vice Mayor, we did. Also, we got a, the building official's been in contact with him regarding the four vehicles over on the property. And the reason why you have this legislation, because technically, just trying to cross our T's and dot our I's, automobiles are treated a little differently under the revised code and in our codified ordinances. And when we discovered some of them back there, we just out of the abundance of caution presented this to council. As a result, we also, again, through very exhaustive communication with the property owner, he knew we were going forward with this. He's removed one of them. Two of the junk vehicles he's asked to be taken away with the demolition. And the other junk vehicle, which he'd like to retain, is a tractor, but he cannot find any keys. Thus, it's been in its same location for years.
I see.
I think it needs more than keys.
So, I don't want to speak for the building official, but we've obviously been talking, and I think the demolition is a few weeks away, and we're encouraging Mr. Grunt to find the keys for the abandoned tractor. If you know, and or he doesn't have to have keys necessarily to remove it from the property.
Yeah. Any comments, Mike, on this?
The only that the owner of the property has been going to the property and removing items out of the house, items that he's finding, and it, I mean, we're talking small items, we're talking trash keys, that type of thing. I don't think there's anything. I've warned him several times that I do not feel the house is safe for him to enter, and he's been taking things out, and of course, in the whole scheme of things, I see things that appear that obviously didn't come out of the house. So once we get this in place here, this on the vehicles, we're going to move forward with getting the J&J Enterprises in line to execute their contract and to proceed with the demolition of the house.
Now, once the house has been taken down and everything removed from all the debris and everything removed, what's the next step of that? Because he's current with his taxes, isn't he, as far as...
Well, the next step, Vice Mayor, is that the finance director, again, we've spoken on this along with communicated with Maggie and various other individuals to make sure everybody's keeping good documentation regarding costs and expenses, and then those will all be compiled and those will be presented to you. Hopefully council will approve those and send those down to the county to be placed as a lien on the property.
Very good. But there's nothing as far as the ownership of the property he could retain. He just has to pay the cost along with the taxes as far as that goes. I mean, as far as him selling that property, that's totally up to him.
Yeah, as you know, Vice Mayor, given your profession, the lien that the city will be put in on just as his taxes. It'll be in first position. And whether or not he pays it off or the property is sold, it will be paid.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions for either Greg or Michael on this?
Greg.
And then did you have a question, Dale?
Well, just Greg, because the house is on one piece of property and there are two properties there, the lien would be placed on the property where the house is?
Yes, sir.
Now, any opposition to this? We will place this legislation on the consent agenda.
Okay.
And then going along with on this same topic, is there a new owner down at the farm there at the north end of town? I've seen some cleanup movement going on there.
It is my understanding that there is a new owner. However, the county, from what I understand, is way behind in filing their transfers. So on the county records, if you were to go to the county website, it is not showing up. The new owner actually contacted me last week and questioned if I had any insight, because he's having issues with the utilities because he's not being shown as the owner of record.
I see. They are. The recorder's office is about 5 to 6 weeks behind. Because I've noticed that on the instruments I've recorded, it doesn't show up for a month and a half that it's been recorded. So that's the county at its best. Okay, so we move on to ordinance number 2021-127. It's ordinance accepting the proposal of Luminous Harmony for professional services to design and develop the city's holiday lighting display in Elmwood Park, and authorizing the acceptance of a partial reimbursement from NOPEC. I guess, Mayor, who would be best to speak on this legislation?
Well, let's see.
Mayor, I can address it if you like.
Yeah, you can start, okay. And everybody can jump in.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dennis.
Okay. Yes, Vice Mayor. Well, first of all, the majority of the funding for this project will come from funds that we've been grant we received from NOPEC. Currently, we have approximately $78,000 in escrow with them. Those funds can be used for anything that will benefit the community, but there's a high emphasis put on energy efficient projects. This project, you know, meets that criteria because we're upgrading all our lights to LEDs. Part of the Luminous is supplying the city with is schematic drawings so that we can continue to grow the display. It'll have a much more professional appearance. The reason we're asking for all the funds at first is because, we're looking at it as one whole project, although we're uncertain if we'll be able to complete it all this year. There's a number of things that we're concerned about. You know, first of all, if we'd have enough labor, the supply chain materials might not be readily available, and, weather will certainly impact what we can do, get done this year. That's why we're asking for first of all, for council to approve NOPEC's grant money to be used for this. And second of all, I believe there's a shortage of about $3,000 from what was recommended by Luminous Harmony.
Now, Dennis, this is strictly for the park. It has nothing to do, we're still going to have a display on the square.
Yes, that is correct. I believe in the package there was the presentation or the design that Luminous provided to us, and it shows the drive-through will kind of begin on the square, go through Elwood Park and so forth.
It's really an opportunity. It's an expanded version of what we did last year when we had that overwhelming success of all those children at the special event. But it's going to be something that you can utilize throughout the holiday season. So it's not a one-time event. It's something you'll build upon over time. So I'm excited. I mean, the department heads, everybody's excited about the ability to integrate this into the different environment that we've created last winter, and it's going to only expand future opportunities.
Mayor, I agree. I think it's kind of similar to Home Days. I mean, it was a big success last year, and now with this, you're building upon that success to even have a greater success for 2021.
Keep in mind, it took years to create the infrastructure for the square area. For those of you that were part of Kiwanis over the years, you know what we started with 20, 30 years ago is not what we have today. And it's just going to take time to make sure that our infrastructure is properly outfitted and that we're able to create an environment for families that will go through the park area over the holiday season, knowing that they're still attached to their community and the community is still reaching out in various ways to promote the holiday season and give them some and their families, especially the younger children, a nice, exciting opportunity and event.
Very good. Thank you, Mayor. Any questions of either Dennis or the mayor?
I'm sure that infrastructure will help us with our home day festivities also.
Yeah, it'll help. You're a bit presumptuous, but I mean, look at...
I'm just thinking ahead, Mayor.
Yeah, I mean, you know, really everything we do, we try to do with a permanence to it, so that when we invest in infrastructure, our utility, we're doing something that's of a permanent nature rather than just running lines back and forth all the time.
Yeah, Ken.
I just want to comment more in general about the Christmas display itself, and this just popped into my head as we're thinking about Christmas, but every year at the town square near the bandstand, there's typically a big banner or sign that goes out of its way to list the elected officials of town as if we're all a part of some great, you know, at the top of the pyramid, and we have some overblown sense of importance that I think it's just not appropriate. And I would love to see that elected officials banner replaced with some sort of recognition for our city employees who truly deserve it. And they're the ones who make the city go and do what it is. And I just soon not try to turn the Christmas display into some sort of advertisement for who the elected officials are and just keep it Christmas and celebrate the employees who make it what it is. And so I just plant that seed for you, Mayor, the Social Services Committee. It's somebody to think about as you lay out the display for
sure.
Maybe it's time to celebrate the other people who work here, not the elected officials.
Well, we definitely try to announce and enunciate the efforts of all the employees as we create these different environments for the benefit of the residents and extended family. So we try to be very generous in terms of giving, recognizing the hard work of all those that plan, prepare, invest in this. But and the department heads are the ones that champions for all this. They're the ones that guide the rest of the employees and through this effort. So, yeah, we can look at that too.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Mark, Dave.
Jim.
Yeah, thanks. Did we have any other quotes on this? It just $75,000 seems like a lot of money for what we're getting here. I'm just curious, is this single sourced, or do we have anyone else who is interested in this?
Well, it is a single source in terms of the uniqueness of it. We had to fully vet the company to make sure that they're at the highest standards and that we're not just buying something that's going to be around for 1 or 2 years, and that I think we have a 10-year, I'm not sure, Dennis, what the guarantee is with this organization, but I know it was a number of years beyond, so the lifespan is going to be, was something we took into consideration, Jim.
And also, when I will be putting out all the items, materials, you know, it will be bid. It will be a bid process. But and Luminous Harmony will help, you know, give us the guidance for the specifications for the different items that we'll need to ensure the quality.
So that company is just getting $6,000, right?
That is correct, Vice Mayor.
And then the other kind is going to go out to bid.
No, that was just their estimate for the different phases of the holiday display.
So will that company, what will the ultimate amount of money that company is going to receive, $81,000?
No, Mayor, it is the six, or Vice Mayor, it's $6,000.
I see.
They're just the architect, so to speak, of this, the design and implementation of it. It's more sophisticated than just hanging lights.
Yeah.
Right. The mayor's right. Luminous Harmony just came up with the plan. all the items are going to be sourced out by Dennis through different vendors that we're going to use.
I see. Does that satisfy you, Jim, as far as...
Seems like a lot of money for the value we get at us, something like that. That's all.
Well, I think that most of it is being funded by NOPEC.
I'd rather have NOPEC buy security cameras for the park or something, more of a need, but just an opinion.
Well, then, Jim, will you be voting against this tonight, or?
Why don't you leave it off the consent agenda, and we'll see what happens in the next 20 minutes.
Okay, sounds good. So, Debbie, this will be voted upon individually.
Okay.
Now we move to the last piece of the legislation. That's the resolution number 2021-11. It's a resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing the necessary tax levies and certifying them to the county fiscal officer. And I think, Vern, on this, we do this every year, and we've already gone through the nuts and bolts of this already. So it's just, I think you need to have this by the end of September.
Correct. The tax budget that we complete late summer or late spring, early summer every year for the following calendar / fiscal year, that document serves to request a certain millage for the public entity. Our request was the 2.2 mils that we've always requested in the past. The County Budget Commission has affirmed that request. And now this legislation is required by the county accepting their confirmation of it. And it's the 2.2 mils, 1.9, which goes to the general fund, and 0.3 mils that goes to the police pension fund.
Very good. Thank you, Vern. Any questions or comments from council? On this... Ken, will you be voting for this, or should we put
this? Yeah, that's fine. You leave it on the consent agenda. That's fine. This is
okay. I want to make sure. I didn't want to.
Yeah, no, that's fine. No concerns about this whatsoever.
Very good. And that completes, Mayor, the
okay.
Caucus. The only update I have is for my daughter's. She's 9 centimeters dilated, and she's in the delivery room as we speak.
Coming down the home stretch.
Vice Mayor, there was one item that Dennis had. It's kind of a cleanup item. I don't know if you want to do it in caucus or the regular meeting, but
we can do it in a caucus. Dennis, or Greg, what matter do we have?
Vice Mayor, August 11th of 2020, Council passed Ordinance 2020-88, and that was for insurance underwriting services. The ordinance was in an amount not to exceed $106,350. On April 20th, the Kindle property was added to the policy. increasing the premium an additional $236. I discussed it with the law director. The law director suggested council make a motion to increase ordinance 2020-88 by the $236 and make the new amount not to exceed $106,586.
Very good. We have a motion from council on that matter.
Motion. Second motion.
Moved by Chris. Second.
Second
by Tom. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Very good. Okay, we took care of that, Greg and Dennis. And I believe that's everything we have for the caucus. And the mayor, I will turn this over to you. And I think
I'm sorry, Mr. Vice Mayor. I did have one question.
Good. And we have 6 minutes, so go ahead.
For the mayor and the finance director, the CBIZ property, is that currently covered by a TIF? Are we going to have to place a TIF on that? Is there
we will be, but there's no hurry since the building hasn't even really been started to be construction. But yeah, the economic development heisters all over that, and that parcel will be TIF definitely.
Is there some advantage of doing that before January 1st as opposed to after?
We would want to do it after because the building hasn't been constructed. We want to make sure that we time it so that while there's no improvements on that, we're not wasting time versus collecting actual revenue when that clock is ticking for 30 years.
Is that can I remember, is the valuation date December 31st or January 1st? It's kind of...
So you have to... For the TIF, you have to have them filed by December 31st of the year that you want the exemption. So the tax value starts on January 1st.
Okay. So we
and remember, taxing is in the rears, so you actually have actual extra time.
So we're not expecting any development to really happen on that property in 21?
With no development on 21 that would be taxed. Typically, what they would do is January 1st to say X amount of the project is developed, and after it gets... Sometimes it's beyond 50%, sometimes it's at 100%, which we wouldn't see.
Okay.
And by January 1st of 2022.
I was just remembering there's a Topgolf TIF, and I just wonder if that already covered that property or we're going to have to do...
We would create a new TIF specifically for this property so that we collect the increase in value over the full 30 years.
Very good. Thank you.
As well as Saucy Brew Works, if that comes to fruition as well.
Very good.
I hope I'm alive when it does.
Exactly.
Very good. Well, Mayor, I turn the floor over to you.
Now we're ready. Okay, here we go. We have, thank you, Vice Mayor. Thank you, Council. We have the regular meeting of Council of September 14th. Clerk will call the roll.
Grindel?
Here.
Acosta?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Tenek?
Here.
Trakas?
Present.
Viverka?
Here.
Walt Chanowitz?
Here.
Okay. We have a prayer by Pastor Matthew Yard for the Concordia Lutheran Church. Pastor?
I don't think he is on. If he's on, he's an attendee. And seeing I'm having technical difficulty, I have no way to make him a panelist right now. I apologize.
We do have 3 minutes before 7 o'clock yet. So.
Sure. Let's see if he's here.
Not an attendee.
No, I don't see him. Nope, I don't see him.
He's connecting right now, I believe.
Perfect.
You can do the pledge while we're waiting.
That's true.
Sure. Let's please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of
America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, now we got Pastor on the... Pastor Matthew, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
Perfect timing.
Wonderful.
It's all yours. Thank you.
All right. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you are an amazing God. All things are in your hands. As we continue to travel this road of ups and downs with COVID and violence in cities and so many other things going on, Lord, we entrust ourselves to you, knowing that you are Lord of all. And we pray, Lord, for your wisdom and your guidance for all involved in this meeting this evening. We ask that you would be our guide, that you would grant us wisdom. Bless us, O Lord, that you may do things that are pleasing in your sight and bring glory and honor to your name, through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. You're more than welcome to stick around for the concert. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll probably stick around for a little while.
Well, good. Then you'll see how efficient government works, right?
Yes.
There you go. Okay, then do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular council meeting of August 10th, 2021? And
so
the minutes
moved.
And the minutes of the Utilities and Sewers Committee meeting of September 7th, 2021?
So moved.
Second.
In favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? And they're adopted. The reports will be submitted. My report will be submitted. I just want to highlight a few things about some of the challenges that COVID-19 crisis, it's still front and center, and we're addressing it through a tremendous amount of effort by our administrative team, and I appreciate those active members that are really working hard to keep things safe and sanitary for all of our guests and residents. We've got on September 20th, Jennifer Zisk-Vitron will join Community Services Department as the Community Resource Manager. And Tyler Technologies, under the direction of Chrissy Lagerfeller, is doing a great job of coming into fruition. There's a lot of hard work to be done. We appreciate Council's investment in this technology. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that today is my wife's birthday. And on her birthday, I am working. So the faster you make this, ladies and gentlemen, the better off I'm going to be. So your prayers for me, Pastor.
Absolutely.
With that, we have legislation. Approval of the consent agenda items listed under consent agenda will be read individually into the record. And the consent agenda will then be voted on as a whole by one motion and roll call. There will be no separate discussion on these items. If discussion by council is desired on any consent agenda item, the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered in its normal sequence under the regular order of business. I motion to approve for the consent agenda. Be read on title only.
So moved.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Ordinance 2021-116, an ordinance to approve the editing and inclusion of certain ordinances as parts of the various component codes of the codified ordinances to provide for the adoption of new matter in the updated and revised codified ordinances and to repeal ordinances in conflict therewith and declaring an emergency. Ordinance 2021-117, an ordinance authorizing the disposal of the city's surplus goods and equipment through GovDeals online auction services. Ordinance 2021-118, an ordinance accepting the consortium bid of Compass Minerals America, Inc. for the purchase and delivery of rock salt for the 2021-2022 snow season pursuant to the Joint Municipal Improvement Consortium. Ordinance 2021-119, an ordinance authorizing the purchase and delivery of turnout gear for the fire department through the state cooperative purchasing program. Ordinance 2021-120, preliminary legislation, LPA, ODOT, LET project agreement. Ordinance 2021-121, final ordinance for the rehabilitating bridge, Cuyahoga 0210909. Ordinance 2021-122, an ordinance granting a special conditional use permit to Cleveland School of Cannabis for an educational use at 6599 Granger Road. Ordinance 2021-123, an ordinance accepting the bid of Liberty Ford Inc. to supply Ford passenger police and commercial vehicle repairs, parts, and labor on an as-needed basis. Ordinance 2021-125, an ordinance accepting the bid of Car Parts Warehouse for the supply of various automotive and light truck parts on an as-needed basis for the service department. Ordinance 2021-126, an ordinance declaring the vehicles parked at 9114 Bramley Drive in the City of Independence to be junk motor vehicles as defined in City Codified Ordinance 660.24 and Ohio Revised Code Section 4513.65, and therefore a public nuisance as defined in City Codified Ordinance 662.04, and authorizing the law director to notify the owner of and declaring an emergency. And resolution 2021-11, resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing the necessary tax levies and certifying them to the county fiscal officer.
This was, maybe I missed it, but was 2021-109 also supposed to be on the consent agenda as amended?
No, second reading. That's a second reading.
Oh, that's right. Okay, fair. That's right. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Okay, motion to suspend the rules.
So moved.
Oh, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And a motion to adopt the consent agenda as read.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions on the consent agenda? Call the roll.
Rendell?
Yes.
Papusta?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Sinek?
Yes.
Trakas?
Aye.
Vavirka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
And the consent agenda is adopted. We have ordinance 2021-109.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance amending Chapter 618 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Independence relating to animals keeping chickens as amended.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Do I have motion?
I did. So somebody jump in there.
I'll second.
Okay. Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Capusta?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Sinek?
No.
Trakas?
Aye.
Vavirka?
No.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
Grindel?
Yes.
It is adopted. We have ordinance 2021-124.
Ed Lonely.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance authorizing the full or partial redemption of the city's various purpose refunding bonds, series 2011 limited tax obligation, and declaring an emergency.
And that'll remain on first reading. We have ordinance 2021-127.
Ed Lonely.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance accepting the proposal of Luminous Harmony for professional services to design and develop the city's holiday lighting display in Elmwood Park and authorizing the acceptance of partial reimbursement from NOPAT.
Motion to suspend.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Sinek?
Yes.
Trakas?
Nay.
Vavirka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
Rendell?
Yes.
Capusta?
Yes.
And it's adopted.
You're going to change your mind in 20 minutes, aren't you?
No.
Okay.
Should have given him 25.
Yeah.
Well, we could have talked a little bit longer. That being the case, I think that's the end of our agenda, correct?
Yes. Yes. Yes, sir.
And that being said, we will adjourn to executive session to talk about real estate and personnel. And there will be no action taken after the meeting. So
Any other comments or questions by council?
Yeah, Mayor, the agenda for today's executive session is to consider confidential information in addition to what you said, related to the marketing plan, specific business strategies, production techniques, trade secrets, or personal financial statements of an applicant for economic development assistance that involves public infrastructure improvements or the extension of utility service that involves the possible sale or purchase of public property or land acquisition.
Fair enough. Any other comments? If not, I'll entertain a moment. Thank everyone for participating tonight's evening, residents and guests. I want to thank my wife for letting me work on her birthday. And we'll entertain a motion to adjourn, and then we'll go into executive session, separate from this meeting. Thank you, everyone, very much, and God bless. Thank you, Reverend.
I'll make the motion to go into executive session.
Second. On favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're here adjourned to executive session. Reverend, thanks again, and thank you, everyone, for participating this evening.
You're very welcome. God bless.
God bless. Thanks, everybody.
Right.